Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hello and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. Today on the podcast, we're going to discuss a new Law Review article titled Zeal for Darwin's House Consumes Them, How Supporters of Evolution Encourage Violations of the Establishment Clause. A couple of months ago, Liberty University Law Review released an article that I published in their journal last year. It was titled Zeal for Darwin's House Consumes Them, How Supporters of Evolution Encourage Violations of the Establishment Clause. The article came out after a legal symposium they hosted last year that included speakers such as Ed Sisson, Jay Wexler, John Calvert, Arnold Lowy, and myself. Wexler and Lowy, of course, are ID critics, so it made for an interesting dialogue. My experience at the symposium was that all were highly civil and thoughtful in the exchange. I would like to read an excerpt from my article, especially as it relates to a decision in the case CF v. Capistrano Unified School District, which came out last year. The common stereotype in the controversy over teaching evolution holds that it is the opponents of evolution who are constantly trying to sneak religious dogma back into science education. While perhaps in some instances this caricature is not entirely undeserved, the mainstream media and legal community pay scant attention to incidents where proponents of Darwinian evolution transgress the boundary between church and state erected by the Establishment Clause. By documenting ways that evolution advocates encourage violations of the Establishment Clause, in some instances explicitly advocating state endorsement of pro-evolution religious viewpoints in the science classroom, my article will show the impropriety of the common inherit-the-wind stereotype, which holds that Darwin skeptics are the ones encouraging violations of the Establishment Clause. To be sure, one area where proponents of evolution do not violate the Establishment Clause is in the mere fact that public schools teach the scientific evidence supporting neo-Darwinian evolution. In the foundational 1968 case, Epperson v. Arkansas, not only did the U.S. Supreme Court plainly rule under the presumption that teaching evolution is constitutional, but it effectively ruled that the failure to teach evolution would likely be unconstitutional because any such prohibitions would be viewed with suspicions of having been animated by unconstitutional religious motivations. The guiding principle behind the court's ruling in Epperson was the neutrality doctrine, which requires that the government may not prefer one religious sect over another or religion over non-religion. While Establishment Clause jurisprudence has long been marked by a lack of judicial consensus, the neutrality doctrine and its prohibition against sectarian preference by the state, as emphasized in Epperson, has a strong rooting in the case law. In one instance, the prohibition on denominational preference was called by the U.S. Supreme Court the clearest command in Establishment Clause legal doctrine. Another Supreme Court decision described a rule that, quote, government should not prefer one religion to another, unquote, as a, quote, principle at the heart of the Establishment Clause, unquote. Yet it is this very principle that some latter-day defenders of Darwin would disregard in their zealous advocacy for evolution education. This article's intent is to explore instances where evolutionists zealously encourage the government to prefer pro-evolution religious viewpoints, theistic, non-theistic, or atheistic, over viewpoints that oppose evolution. Some of those viewpoints opposing evolution are patently religious. Others are considered scientific by their proponents, but are stridently labeled religious by their critics. Despite the public image that the defenders of evolution are the ones upholding the separation of church and state, this article will show that the core of this very principle, the First Amendment's prohibition of denominational preference, is what many evolution lobbyists are encouraging the state to offend. Part 2 will review the case law showing that evolutionists do not encourage violations of the Establishment Clause simply by advocating the teaching of evolution or opposing the teaching of creationism in public schools. However, Part 3 will discuss how zeal for Darwin encourages certain violations of the Establishment Clause. Three themes will emerge during Part 3's analysis. First, creationism has been firmly deemed a religious viewpoint by multiple courts, but teaching ID in public schools has only been addressed by one federal trial court, and ID proponents consider ID to be scientific and thereby constitutional for both advocacy and critique in public schools. Critics allege that both ID and creationism are religious viewpoints, and they oppose the advocacy of both views in public schools. On this point, the present author agrees with evolutionists with respect to teaching creationism, but disagrees with them with respect to teaching ID. But evolutionists, who strongly hold that ID is religion, ignore the First Amendment's prohibition on inhibiting, disapproving, or opposing religion by actively supporting attacks on ID and creationism in public schools. Second, evolutionists purport to oppose advocating religious viewpoints in public schools, but leading lobbyists for evolution education unashamedly advocate that public school teachers endorse pro-theistic evolution religious viewpoints in the science classroom to help students accept evolution. Third, many textbooks used in public schools promote evolution along with philosophical materialism, preferring non-theistic or atheistic religious viewpoints over theistic religious viewpoints. While there's nothing unconstitutional about teaching the science that supports evolution, when evolution is taught alongside philosophical materialism, this constitutes government preference for various non-theistic or atheistic religious viewpoints that support evolution in opposition to religious viewpoints that do not support evolution. The hope is that this discussion can help prevent future offenses to the separation of church and state that result from overzealous advocacy on behalf of Darwin. To read the entire article, Zeal for Darwin's House Consumes Them, How Supporters of Evolution Encourage Violations of the Establishment Clause, visit discovery.org. I'm Casey Luskin. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2010. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.